call the Congressional Affairs meeting together. Does anyone have a time? Yes, we do. It's 11:37. First order of is roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here. Congressman Walker? Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards? Second Speaker Stabler?
Present. We do have a quorum, so we're going to move ahead with prayer. Congresswoman Whitehorn, would you mind?
Father God, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you that we have the opportunity to come before you and get in touch with you, Lord. We just ask that you be present today in this meeting and help us with our understanding of what's presented before us, Lord. Thank you for all of your blessings and bounty that you bestow upon us. We just thank you. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn. The next on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
Sorry.
Congressman Potts.
Can we have a motion to approve the minutes of the Congressional Affairs meeting on September 19th?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Yes. Yes. And minutes are approved. Next on the agenda are payables. We do have a payable for the bank card. Okay. Congressman Potts.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the payable to the U.S. Bank for $1,227.55.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? No. Okay. Okay. Signing. I know that this one's done. The next one would be a bank card for 37, 35, and 40 cents. Does anybody want to look at this copy?
Was it not?
It's not in our packet?
No, she made two copies.
While we're doing that, Madam Chair, I ask that two things be put on the agenda for today. I'd like to make the motion to amend the agenda to place those on the agenda for today. Well, I'm curious, how do you get an item on the agenda if you ask you and it doesn't appear on the agenda?
And the discussion we had was that the days did not coincide with the HR director that you requested. Today is a demonstration that's going to take the full hour, and then we have to go into another meeting 15 minutes after that. And so we will put her on an agenda. We'll make another request. She's also asking for information as to what you want to discuss.
Yeah, but I made a request yesterday that you put the hiring of a contractor on the agenda.
I apologize. You did, and I forgot about that. So we cannot amend the agenda for that. I will place another emergency CA meeting the next day or two. I'll find some time and we can do it.
Okay. I also have a request to send a letter to the Human Resources Director regarding the information that we were seeking in a meeting with her this session, and I would ask that you put that on the agenda too.
That would be great. She would like a copy.
Thank you.
Congressman Potts.
Motion to approve the payable to U.S. Bank in the amount of $3,735.40.
Do we have a second?
I'll give you a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'm looking through can you advise
Congresswoman Edwards?
Can you advise the purpose of the Secretary of State and the Waterbird Gallery? Secretary of State, $10.40.
I believe that's for notary. It's for notary renewal.
Waterbird Gallery, $298.
That was for blankets for the opening session.
Okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
What line does this come out of in our budget? I'm just curious.
I think it depends on the charge.
Right.
The different line items are listed on the...
Are listed on this very front.
Yes. They're listed by number, not by title or line item.
And this has been reviewed. We're good in each line.
Okay.
We don't have a motion on the floor yet.
Do.
Yes, we do.
That was seconded. Okay.
No.
No, it wasn't seconded.
Second.
If we have a motion and a second, is there any further discussion? Congressman Walker.
I'm sorry that I just joined the meeting. What are we voting on?
I believe she has a copy next to you, right there. It's on the, one of the bank chart, bank bills.
Basically,
Congressman Walker.
Is this just our monthly bills?
There's a couple of extra things in there. The discussion just went to a renewal on a notary and also blankets for the opening session. Other than that, I can't think of anything else that's odd. Congressman Edwards.
I have a question. So when we buy honorariums for different events, do we try to utilize different Osage businesses each time?
Yes, and in this case, we reached out to everyone in the area that was that carries blankets.
Okay. And do we just take the lowest price, or do we let different people? Do we buy from different people at different times?
In this particular case, this is the first time my involvement in it. In this particular case, we did take the lowest bid.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions, all in favor, say yes.
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 Any opposed? All right, I will give that signing. And we're getting ready to move to travel. I have a couple of hands here. Congressman Walker.
Well, while we're still on payables, I think that would be the only place it would be applicable. I guess I could have after the meeting, but I've thought about this throughout numerous times this session. I noticed our flag.
Yes, okay.
Can we initiate replacing that? It's getting ragtag.
Let me give you an update on that. Okay. It's on order. It just hadn't been picked up. Okay. So we were hoping to get it done while you all were here so we could all go up there and get it changed. We'll work on that.
Thank you.
We'd
like to get our picture up.
Congressman Potts.
Under item number six on travel, I'd like to make a motion to approve travel for Speaker Joe Tillman to attend Southern California Gathering in the amount of $1,767.88.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Yes. Any opposed? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Make a motion to approve travel for Congresswoman Lemon to attend the Southern and Northern California gatherings the amount of $2,100.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion to approve travel for Congresswoman Maria Whitehorn to attend the Southern California Gathering in the amount of $1,694.54.
Second. Any discussion?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Dana was preparing these, our clerk was preparing these for me this morning. She prepared Southern and Northern for me. I would prefer to get the Northern California, Southern and Northern approved, which is behind it.
Second.
For $2,100.
I'd like to withdraw my motion.
Yes, Congressman Potts.
Make a motion to approve travel for Congresswoman Maria Whitehorn to attend Southern and Northern California gatherings in the amount of $2,100.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Congressman Edwards.
Did Congressman Maker turn in?
Yes, he did.
Do we have it?
Yes. Congressman Potts.
I'd like to make a motion to approve travel for Congressman John Maker to attend the Southern and Northern California gatherings in the amount of $2,100.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? All right, thank you. Congresswoman Edwards.
Would the second speaker please poll the Congress and see if anyone else is planning on submitting travel between now and spring, so that, or at least by next month's meeting, so that we can react to that at the final meeting that you're going to have?
Certainly. Yes, I will. All right. That brings us to our presentation for Policy Tech, and I want to welcome Laura Sawney, who is, oh my gosh, Laura, are you still the compliance officer? Okay. Who's the compliance officer with the Wajaji Health Center. When we came on to as a tribal entity, I believe it was Laura that brought Policy Tech and said we should take a look at it because we have such a vast amount of policy and we had a lot of policy to write. So it helped us in that first 9 months to get our policies put up. But since then, it's a huge tool that's used. And so today, I'm just asking you all to take a look at her presentation, see if you think it's viable as something to look at for such things for us, not just in policy, but on rules, on communications. It's like a library software, but it has a lot of additional features to it. And if you do think it's viable, then we'll send her on into a second little portion of her presentation to look at a template and how it actually flows through. So I'll turn it over to Laura.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with just kind of giving you the general overview. And when we first originally began, there was just the Wajaji Health Center. And so these have all been added on, and it's really just for easy access. The good thing about this is, and we had to go through lots of security issues at the beginning, because I remember this vividly. And so it has, you know, the security that federal agencies are, that accept. It's cloud-based, so the good thing about this is, since it's on a website, you can access this anywhere. You can access this on a mobile phone, and that was the thing, is like we didn't want it in an internal setting to where you had to be just at an Osage or IHS computer, but you can access this anywhere. And so if we're in a meeting and we can't remember a particular policy or protocol, we can pull this up on phone or on, again, laptops or whatnot. So I wanted to show you, I'll eventually go in, I think it's more pertinent to you, is I just started in the infancy stages, the Osage Nation Health Authority, and so we're trying to pull all, executive level, congressional level, health-related documents or any type of documents that affect health services, and so that's quite a bit, but it still kind of narrows down what is uploaded here. So, and the good thing about Policy Tech, I'm always on the Outlook, and I do love Policy Tech, and we've had it for several years now, but I'm always on the look for anything that might be easier or better to use, and I've yet to find it. If there comes a time, then, we'll see about transferring it over, but right now, this kind of fits our need. So So I'm going to quickly just show you the Wajaji Health Centers because it's more sophisticated. And so you're able to categorize this in a variety of ways. And if you guys decide to, I can go into more depth about that. But, and you can go, so right now we have it under all categories, but you can also do like department-wise, and I don't, that may not be of interest to you, but for us at the clinic, we're able to pull in if we just want it clinical, because it's this is all done, whoever inputs that in, you'll put if they're clinical, non-clinical, their titles, their departments. So this has been over like a 3-4 year process of getting this complete, but you can do it on a variety of different categories or departments, but I prefer, and when we do this for anybody that's onboarding, I explain to them, I like to look at it using the all categories. So I usually will have people do that and look at all categories. And again, I'm just showing you this because this is more robust, and then I'll go over to the health authority side, and so you can kind of see how I'm trying to integrate legal documents in there. For now, and it was kind of played around with at the beginning. I can't remember. I wish I would have took screenshots at the beginning of how I had it, set up or whatnot. But I do know we always based it off of our AAAHC accreditation. And so it's broken up into chapters. So all of our policies and protocols, well, probably 95% can be categorized in here. We do have like some miscellaneous that's down here, and actually I've taken out the miscellaneous and kind of just put it in to what it might be. And so here it's, HR related. And so, let me go back up here.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
Where's the nation's HR policies?
We include that in here, but let me go back. I've also put a site here for where we can just, download their PDFs or their policies or protocols and use those if we want to. We always usually refer and defer any particular policies or protocol to HR, to accounting, to wherever. But then if there's something specific to the clinic or to the health, then we'll also have that. But usually I'll pull up a document. Hopefully I can find a good one to show you guys, but we'll also put links in there and attachments in there to refer to any documents that are outside of the clinic. So, and so I just haven't, let's go to there, I just have yet to do that, but that's my plans, is to go in there. But right now they're integrated into the Wajaji Health Centers, but my idea is to also put those within its own little department, so it would have its own folders and whatnot too. I just haven't gotten to that yet. So let me see if I can find a good example of that. Let's see here. And see, it kind of gets, so chapter 2 governance for accreditation kind of overlaps with the health authority board. So that's what I'm kind of dealing with now. It's like it may be redundant, or maybe I need to, maybe we need to a new name or whatnot. And I'm working with the health board members with several different people, trying to figure out exactly how to do this. And if you'll notice, the titling actually is very important, at least if you're going to categorize it in a particular way. Now that our accreditation that occurred 8-7 months ago or whatnot is over, we kind of gotten a little bit lazy about naming it, but it is very critical to name the file, because that's the way that you're going to be able to pull it up easily. The whole point of this is for you to be able to easily and quickly find what you're looking for. So this is almost like Google. You can put in specific names or words in there, a chapter if you're looking for it, and it'll pull up the document.
So if you put human resources, policies and procedures,
You would normally, typically, I don't know if we have that exact, those terms in here. Human, let me see what it pulls up. And again, this is man-powered because, was it that first year or second year when we had those high school students come in, they actually helped go in and pull up, so I don't think we had too many that's listed as human resources, at least in chapter 2. I should have done it in all categories. But let me pull up a document. See, like this one, this is the Osage Nation Human Resource Policy. And again, this your guys' categories can be determined however you want to, and that's why I'll look at the health authority boards in a minute, because that's probably more in line to what you guys may want to use, because this will go with legislature and whatnot. This right here is actually guided by the chapters in the accreditation manual, the AAAHC accreditation manual.
What date is that?
And this one, I believe it's the new, is there a newer one than that? We try to keep up with them, and I'll upload the newest ones in there. So again, I think I said this earlier, this is as good as the people that are using it and administering it. So in order to have it most up to date, you have to have somebody that's continuously looking and checking and whatever it is that you use. The good thing about this is that all the documents, again, there may be some that slip through, but for the most part, we haven't had any issues. These documents, and I wanted to show you real quick about the, you know, being able to just kind of use Google. You go in and you assign the owner of the document, and we kind of do that by chapter leads, which Donnie, well, we just assigned him as a proxy. You can also assign somebody as a proxy to keep up with it too. But you typically will assign the document, even if I, let's say, developed it or drafted it and had somebody look at it, because a lot of times people are busy that are actually doing it, and so you'll have your drafters and writers, and then you'll have them view it. But you'll be assigned that document to whoever you want to assign it, and they're the owner. And again, that could be tailored to however you guys need it. We assign a chapter, let's say the pharmacy, we assign it to Donnie, and that's his responsibility, and he will draft and develop all of those policies and protocols that's going against the standards, and then that will be whoever's that owner, that's their responsibility to make sure they're up to date. Yes.
Does the system, like what I see and I'm understanding it so far, but say a policy is updated, mm-hmm. So does this database have the ability to show you each rendition of the policy?
Yes.
Does it wipe out that?
Correct.
So you have a roadmap of how you got to where you are.
Yes, and you can assign it. Yes, and you can assign it to various people. You don't have to, but you can assign it to various people, and this is where we're able to do audits to see which staff have and have not read it, because when that pops up, there's an attestation to say, submitting okay that I've read this means that I understand and will adhere to these policies and protocols. If you do not understand it, seek out your supervisor. All of that terminology can be changed and tailored to however that's needed, but once that's clicked, and then I'll show you the overview. I need to clean up some of this because we don't have some people here, but you can assign the people that you need. The overview here, once you do that, it makes you do that, so you have to. It's as easy as that to clean that up. Save. And then I'll show you the overview here. The good thing about this too is when you're drafting it, and you could do it a couple of different ways. Ideally, it goes through Policy Tech, and so you have your template, and that's what Paula was talking about. If you guys decide to choose to, I can go in more in depth on that. But you have a template, and you can have various writers on that drafting. So you can put in this property wizard, you can assign writers, you can assign reviewers, and then you can assign approvers. And so at each step, you'd get your email notification to say, you have been assigned a writer, or if you're done writing, you can push that forward on to being reviewed, however you guys would choose to do that. And then whoever does that final approver, makes that final approver, then it can get published. And you can hang on to not having it published. We usually just immediately publish once that has been approved, but you can do that however you choose to. So you were talking about versions. It keeps the version histories here. And it also walks you through on who has touched it, who has changed it, if somebody's been assigned. I mean, and you can also look at who's read it, who hasn't read it. But then you have your version histories, and then you could go back. So you never lose, it only archives. So that's the good thing about that. So, because I've sat in meetings to where you have paper and somebody thinks they have the most current version, but it's actually not. So here, the one that pops up is the most current version, and if not, then that's an error on the administrator. But so you never have to wonder or battle. You could just pull that up. And so we always tell our staff, you can always print these out if you want to, because some people still like to hold that, but we always go by what's electronic first, because that's going to be the most current one, because you can have various versions of those. And that's just on that one. Let me see if I can find one that has...
Can we stay on that for a minute? Because I noticed that says that's the 2018 Human Resources Manual, and I've been trying to figure out how we get notice of the updates from the Human Resources Department, and someone advised me that you have to look at Paycom. Mm-hmm. So does the Human Resources Department send you guys electronic updates so that you can update this?
You'll get a notice, like an email notice, to say you have a new
Yes, and it's actually in Paycom, and it stays on your registry in Paycom until you've fulfilled it.
But I mean, who pulls down the edits or the amendments to the Human Resources Manual? And
I don't know, but that's not germane to what we're doing today, but I don't know the answer to that.
Because for me, if we're going to do this, that's one of the most important things, because apparently there's a lot of HR amendments to the HR manual that have come up, and by policy, the legislative branch within 60 days has to review those and decide whether the legislative branch is going to adopt those or not. So to me, that's one of the reasons this system would be so important, so it could alert us to...
It would alert us through Paycom, and then whoever we set as the administrator would have to push it out to this.
So
if that's how you want it to drive, otherwise it's in everybody's Paycom.
Yeah, correct. And so I'm just always keeping my eyes on pertinent stuff like this. If I see an HR one, if I see how they do like the drug screenings or anything that really has to do with stuff, then I'll just immediately download it. That's the good thing about having this, is because you can download them on your phone too. So even if I'm not in my office, or if it's a weekend and I just saw that email, I'm getting to my emails or whatever, I can immediately download and upload that onto here. I might not publish it until I get back to the office, but at least I have it uploaded in draft form here. So, but it's really keeping aware of those emails.
Laura, I don't know that we've used this at the clinic or not, but is there a phase to this where you can actually make it public?
Yes.
You could publish those items that will be open to the public, others that would be closed.
Security levels. Uh-huh. There's various security levels, or you could do it open to the public. Let me see. What I wanted to show you also, let's see.
Why don't you put a find in there of bloodborne pathogen
and
just show that it, it does its research.
Okay. I'll do that. And so you'll see too, the attachments is what I'm talking about, is like, here's the Osage Nation whistleblower protection, that's Osage Nation's. And then the reporting form is also uploaded for them. So once they go to this policy, and it's also here, you can open it in a new window, and just so you can keep that's just kind of tech if you like it popping out in a new window or whatever.
Will that show when there was updates to it?
It'll show the version number. Let me see. This particular one was just done in 2018. But typically, if there's, because I think that's a newer one. We used to not have that whistleblower in Policy Tech. But once there's a revision, it'll have that revision number, and you can also see that here, a version number. So that will let you know if there's more, and if there is more, then you could go. Anybody can have access to the public. Whoever can read this will have access to see what the version history is. But I believe that's the only version. Might have been working on drafts, and then we started it here, and it was actually approved and published here. But it'll let you know what version number that is. And that's why also what's critical about this is that template. You can do... upload your, and I'll show you in just a moment on the health authority board. I was just sitting thinking, and it may turn into something different, but quickly, just off the top of my head, I drafted that top header part. It's going to look a little bit different, and I'm trying to figure out what information is needed, and I'll show you in just a minute, because that header is going to be what's critical, and it's also the administrator that, or whoever is being assigned that, to make sure that that information is correct. Because what you want to see on that first page is this is going to be useless for anybody if you don't see that header. Actually, if you don't see that title and if you don't see that header, that's the whole point of this, is to make it as easy as possible to be able to pull up anything that you need. So, and you can also have discussions here. That's internally, like, you know, for the people that are publishing it, not necessarily the staff, but whoever's working on it, you can have notes on there. Let me do Bloodborne, if I can spell Bloodborne. Orientation checklist. You kind of have to, and again, if I think I showed you where you have to put your search words in there. When we first developed them, there was no search words whatsoever. So I remember thinking that I was like, in order for this to be useful, you have to have your search words in there. And so that's when those students came, they really helped us out because we had a lot of documents. What they ended up going in and doing, and I'll pull up another word so you can see, is... you have to go over here and put your words in there, like literally type them up. And none of those documents used to have it. And I forget which students was it that helped us that first year, but they helped us.
Now, all these pages that we're looking at right now are the administrative pages, the work that goes in to set up the documents. When you do the searches and things, it's real easy to
correct.
Step through those.
Yeah,
they're very easy to understand.
Oh, well, and the other thing is you have to go, I should be on all, that's why. Because it'll be, like, if you click on this chapter, you're only looking in
chapter
one, patient right. So I should have done this.
So does the nation use this too?
No, this is something that we just adopted at the clinic, and I thought it might be useful for us down here. They're using Paycom.
So, but the clinic uses Paycom too?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
So maybe I should have. Well, I put blood in, so a whole bunch of stuff popped up.
Yeah.
But, you know, the minimum barrier protection, vaccines, anything that would have to do with blood. And so
you can sort by title, by chapter, by word search, by date of publication, by any field that's in that top header.
And you can change your header. You know, hide list, and I tell the staff, do it how you want, but I really like to see published, last modified, and again, this is an admin. I could, again, if you guys so choose to, I can show you, because I did make a tester for this last accreditation survey. I did a tester so that I could see how a staff would see it or somebody.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Potts has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there, like, when we do our code, we hand that off to somebody and they update our code. Mm-hmm. We have every version of policy and procedure for our body. Is that something that we can hand off to somebody and they code it by version, or is that something that we would need to input version by version?
The completeness is by the expert of the administrator. Okay. And the administrator is on our side. We're not contracting Policy Tech to do any work. We would have to either hire someone outside to come in or use our current staff or have a committee of Congress that would be willing to take on that task. This is not an easy thing, the first thing out of the bag. It's later on when you get the rewards of it after you've established all that criteria. Congresswoman Edwards.
So the cost is the initial administration input, the software itself? Is it software or is
just
it?
Just the software.
Just the software. License.
And then the rest of it's licensing.
After and how that. Much is the licensing?
Well, now this is where, because you pay by the number of licenses, so that's why I was asking Laura if it was still the same. It's about $2,500 a year at the clinic, but they have 110 licenses. So you look at us, and we just have less than a third of that probably as a total of users. But if we can add that component to public, I don't know what that would do. It'd be if you're interested in it, we could call for a cost.
Well, I'm just trying to, so this does something that Paycom doesn't do, so...
Correct. And Paycom, I think, is tailored more specific for HR, whereas this is for uploading policies and protocols.
And it's combining all of it.
Correct.
They're making it so it can combine all of it, clinical, non-clinical, and then tribal.
And it lets multiple people work on a document at either phases or at once. And it also allows you the ability to develop it as you see fit. So, like I know, and I'm not familiar with Paycom, and whoever really knows Paycom and knows how to develop it may say, no, you know, you can do that. But from just my novice on Paycom is that it's already built, and mm-hmm. you just go in and can modify a little bit. This one, you're pretty much.
So, yeah, so what the way I looked at this was with the same as the clinic. The clinic has things outside the nation that they need to manage and control. So that's where you blended those two. The same thing for Congress. We have communications, we have rules, we have policy, we have other things outside the nation. In other words, we didn't need all those put into Paycom if we put them in here and make an easy search. Now, if we want to take a view at Paycom and see how it works, I'm all for that. Let's look at whatever's available to us and see what we think works the best. This is about a $6,000 initial investment, though, just to purchase the original piece. Then after that, it's licensing on users.
So $6,000 plus $2,500 each licensure each year?
No, just the licensing after the first year, which would be the $2,500 for the
right.
clinic.
Per person, per user?
No.
No?
No,
and
that's for 110 users.
And we could also, since we already have, if you guys want to go out and just have that entity on your own, because you can have you can get another site where, and I would not have access to it, and
it would piggyback off of that one.
Correct,
and so
it may be cheaper.
Yeah, but they're getting ready to bring in under their umbrella PRT for certain, and not sure what else, but eventually they'll hope to have all those.
Do like a pilot project or whatever, just to kind of see that is a possibility too. And I kind of wanted to show you the Osage Nation Health Authority, because I feel like that's going to be more what you guys will probably see. And you can see, I don't have any documents yet. I have them on my file, and eventually I'm going to upload them, because I'm trying to figure out what's the best way of categorizing those, because there is a lot of versions. And so eventually I'm going to have, some attorney general opinions in here, some executive orders in there that, again, just specific for health. You guys will be a huge job, since you guys will be looking at everything. And so I have Osage Nation legislative, branch documents. So how right now, this could change, because again, this is, I'm just starting out right now and learning in the process. I've been emailing and whatnot. So we have, the acts and the resolutions. And so again, this is in its infancy, but I'm kind of breaking it up right now. I just went back to 2015, because that's when we compacted. Of course, your guys' would, however you guys decide to do that. And so I think I've only got a few acts on here. But how I've done it is, so you have your ONC 2015. I think I have one act so far on here. But it's exactly what you would find on the website listed. There is a limited number of characters, so I had to go in and kind of keep it as close as possible to that. But I think I might have truncated a few words in there to keep it in the character lines. And that may be something that they can actually change. I just haven't reached out to Policy Tech. A lot of times if you find an issue, you may be able to have a title as long as you want. I was just trying to hurry and get you guys some examples. And I was also working on it for the board. And so how I have this on here right now is, again, so you could see that header is a little bit different than the other one. If you put them side by side, they're completely different. But this is, again, I'm just playing around with this. It could change, because if you looked at 2015 to 2019, you'll probably see lots of different, just tiny changes where I figure out, I was like, people like to look at it this way better or whatever. So, I have the Osage Nations Board Act on here. And so the title in here, again, this is going to be for you guys, I say you guys, the staff, whoever, for you guys to easily be able to digest and be able to look and see whether it's what you need or not. And that's why the titles are important too. And so right here, where you were talking about the various different versions, I'm like, gosh, some of them have, a lot of versions. And so, and again, this could change, but off of the top of my head, I was like, this is how I've done it for now, and that's just putting in, I want you guys to be able to have access to, the originals, the committee reports that go with that, and then also the amended versions. So this one right here, when you see below, that means it's this current one that we're looking at. If you want to go back to the older versions, then you will click this, and it'll take you back to the older versions.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So what's the benefit of having that here when it's already on the website and we already pay code publishers to update those as they're updated and put the legislative history in them?
I think because you can just easily click and put the attachments on here, so you're not having to go through the website. For me, that's the reason. It's just to have it all easily accessible and the easiest. So whoever's working on this is going to do a lot of consulting with you guys.
We're not trying to take the code away, code publishers away from Congress.
I didn't say that. I just looks like a duplication of effort when we've already got it on the website where you can go through.
It's just their choice to have it in a separate library that's just exclusive to what they use most frequently.
And you can add what, and I just added this because I'm like, what does the health board members want to look at when they're meeting? So it'd be whatever you want. There's a lot more to this, but, you know, the voting results, because again.
Congresswoman Potts.
I'm not sure that it would be, I like what it's capable of, but I'm not sure that it would be helpful for legislation purposes. I think it would be helpful for our policy.
I wasn't driving it for legislative purposes.
Just to let you guys know, just kind of an FYI that there's a tool out there and available just in case.
Our budget analyst has a question.
So I don't know if you're familiar with SharePoint, but could you tell me the benefits of PolicyTech versus SharePoint? Because they kind of look similar to me.
Because you do not have to be on an intranet. You can be on an internet and pull that up, which I know you can VPN, but there's sometimes issues on getting that access. So I don't know, like, I know that the codes are on open website, but as far as having it internally in SharePoint, we went with the cloud, so then that way we'd be able to access those anywhere. Because on SharePoint, internally, like our Z Drive and whatnot, you have to be logged into an Osage Nation computer, and then our IHS has a SharePoint too, but you have to be an IHS computer.
Go ahead, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, yeah. So with our SharePoint, you don't have to be on a
VPN. Okay.
It is web-based with our SharePoint.
Okay, so on our SharePoint, though, does it have the search features?
Yes. Our SharePoint does have a search feature.
Does it? And so the other things is there's like questionnaires and tests, which may not be applicable to you guys. The other thing that's different on this is that you have your attestation and are able to know if somebody actually accepted it and read it. The other thing is, and I don't, because I'm not very, I haven't used SharePoint a lot just besides putting full files on there, but this one also allows, like I said, the workflow to be documented, version histories to be documented, and then for you to pass on, you can have a sequence of people working on it from drafting to proofing to reviewing to make sure the whatever citations are correct, and then to approval, and then from approval is publishing. So there's like a sequence. You can do it as all sequences, or you can skip just to the approval part. There's just lots of different, let me go back to the properties, because this is where, you know, you can assign it to specific groups of people, and those shoot out an email saying you have been assigned and are required to read this. Then you can also just do notifications. But again, it lets you do audits to be able to run audits to see who hasn't read it, who has read it. For the notification pieces, if you don't want to bombard people but just want them to know that it has been updated, then you can send those out. So there's like lots of different tweaking and specificity that can be done on this. You can assign owners. You can proxy owners if somebody like Dr. Shaw is very busy. So he will have final approval, but he has various proxy owners for those people that are specialties in that area. And so then that way, he always will be in the loop and notified if a policy or protocol is changed. But he can't look at every single piece of policy and protocol, but he will be notified. So when he has time, he could go back. So I don't know if SharePoint lets you, be able to do that. And then again, the reports that it can run, you can run lots of different reports on here.
Hey, did you have another question? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Shanna?
Okay, I'm questioning because I'm hearing a lot about policy, and I understand we've been going through all of our policies and trying to make updates and changes and things like that. So I'm questioning, are we looking at this more for policy purposes, or are we looking at this more for having a place for communications for the Congress members' purposes, or how?
Rules, policies, communications. It can do all three because you can set up the separate libraries for them.
Okay.
Because that's what I always try to tailor it, like as I'm tailoring it for the health board members right now, and then I tailored it for one for their accreditation surveyors. So they found it so easy that they were so, they actually asked if they could take that as best practice because it was so easy for them to go through and they knew that it was the most, you know, current versions. When I tailor it for the health board, though, it's going to be different. How I'm tailoring it is I'm consulting with them and just listening as I sit and hear their health board meetings is what's going to help them out. So yeah, you'll look, it's going to be who your targeted audience is. And so that's going to look different than the health centers because I want them to be able to utilize it and be able to pull something up quickly, be able to have an overview of that document. Again, what I think is pertinent. So it may be different for if we're looking at the Congress members, what they want to see is going to be maybe different, but in also a standard. Because when you're looking at it, you might have different pieces, and it may look slightly different, but that cover sheet, I think, is really important, too, in which I don't know, you know, you could have it on your SharePoint, a cover sheet for every, but on this one, you can do it as a template. And so every single piece of document is going to have the same standardized template. But again, getting that template to how you want to look at and what you're going to have on there is going to be up to whoever administers. So that's what I also think is unique, is having that the ability to have a template and to have that overview sheet, I guess, is what it is.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Just from this brief overview that I've seen, I think this could help in the committee process to some extent. I think it could help in the amendment process, even general order amendments. I'm not saying the whole legislative process should be on there, but committee meetings could be noticed to the members of Congress on that. We could actually see the committee reports in real time, what we'd actually, like, for example, if we have a bill that we were working on over several days and we've made amendments on day one and day four, I don't know what those amendments are until we either look at the next day's minutes. It's not compiled all in one place is all I'm saying. So all that's compiled and then a committee report comes out, then that's the final version of that. But I see some uses as far as committee work also to go beyond policy. Okay. I mean, it'll be a new way of looking at things, but we know what our process is, but it's limiting right now. Our process is limiting if you want to do work. If I go home at night, there's nowhere for me to look at to see what amendment was made that day in committee. I'd have to go back and listen to the audio. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Ms. Walker? Just that. I know that you don't see the vision of how it all worked, but
now I see.
But truly, when I go home at night and I've been in three committee meetings all day, and I'm thinking about a piece of legislation, like, oh, we made an amendment on that.
So basically, I'm gathering from you is you're wanting a working red line version of whatever document we're working on as we go through the meeting.
Not necessarily. Just the same way you put committee amendments in the minutes as they're made.
And I put them in the committee reports
Have a template there, and maybe that's where you would.
Well, I put them in the committee report as well. And as soon as it gets reported out, when it's made available to everyone. But so what I'm hearing is you're wanting access to it even before it's reported out.
Yeah, because we may be working on that bill the very next day. And if I need to make an amendment that I want to put at the table, I have to wait until I can look at the draft minutes sitting on the table. I don't have any real-time access to continue doing my work until I sit back down at the table. unless I've made a copy or I've taken really good notes. But I mean, and I'm not asking for us to do that type of change. All I'm saying is I think I can see a benefit here.
I'm not disagreeing right. that there could be a benefit. I'm just trying to figure in my head the work process that it's going to take to, because that's added work.
I wonder if I could
not if we just worked
here at some point or just talk to you, because little things are going in my head, you know, and I don't know if that will work for you or not.
I'm just saying it's added work in the sense that I get what you're saying, that you want to be able to have it available, whether it's in committee report version, whether it's just a copy of the amendment after I've received it or whatever. I get that.
Work in that environment for committee meetings is what I'm saying.
Because all the committee members...
And I understand that. I'm just saying I'm still figuring. I've got my minutes. I've got my committee report itself, and that's an additional step is what I'm saying.
And you can scan documents in as well. So I don't know exact. I wish I could just be a fly on the wall.
May I?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Not if that's the environment that you're working in and your committee meeting template is in there. Once you finish that meeting that you're clerking and your only publication or your only review level would be when Shanna reviews it, it's just draft. That's nothing that's going out to the committee. The users that were on the system can go in and see where we are in that draft. But that would be the total environment that you're working in. You wouldn't have to sit down and do it in Word also, if that's what you guys work in currently. It's just a thought. I'm not shaking things up too hard.
Take it all in today. Right. That's the main thing, is just kind of take it all in. There's no decision being made today. There's other things we need to look at. Maybe we need to take a day and look at SharePoint and what its capabilities are and take a look at the process that she goes through and see
exactly.
how it fits.
I agree.
So there's a lot more meetings to that. I had a point to make with Laura, and I can't remember what it was, but that's probably not a bad idea if you were wanting to or willing to take a look at the process.
Yeah, because you want this to be a tool and to be helpful for you. You don't want it to be extra work and burdensome. But exactly. As I'm just sitting here, I'm like, you can upload, because we do meeting minutes, because we have to show health board, our health board meeting minutes, agenda, sign-in sheets and everything. And so we do that too, but you can scan those. So right. It's not extra work. Or if you do have a Word document, you can upload Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and just a file itself. And so that's... The other thing is, like, each committee member can be assigned that particular document. So when anything, you know, if she's going to be the document owner for the draft portion of it, then she can send that out. And any updates, then would know to be the committee members would get an email saying it has been updated or, you know, whatnot. You would
get notified. Amendments have been loaded or whatever.
Correct. And then those committee members could, if they wanted to go in and edit it, and it would make notations of who edited it, and then that whole committee group, whoever's assigned that, would get notified day or night whenever you're working on it that something was amended. Or if you didn't want that to go out, you could just keep it in draft instead of hit submit.
Carson Potts, did you have something to say?
No, I don't.
I do.
It's very, I think you hit the nail on the head as soon as you got here. It's only as good as the information that you plug into it.
Right, I agree.
And I think if we were to farm that out, for lack of a better term, to our committee chairs, you're going to find inconsistency. Well, this committee chair did it, this committee chair didn't do it.
Committee chairs don't do the work the clerk. I'm just talking about the work the clerks do.
That's what my concern now is. It would have to be, I mean, like you said, you're on top of this. You've got it on your iPhone. As soon as something happens, you're on top of it. And I'm not saying that our clerks aren't. I'm just saying that's that extra step for them at this process. And I don't know. I think leaving it at policy and procedure is where I would be comfortable with it exploring, because that's something that
is a lot slower moving than tracking legislation every day.
As well, I have the hardest time with communications.
And I'm good with that, but I think I can see beyond policy here for its utilization, and never ever would I want to create another step to your process.
No, not at all.
Ever.
I'm trying to digest and think how to incorporate it.
And this
additional work
is 4 years in the making. So yours would be something small. You would start off with something small, and whether that be just one committee to get your fill of it, because again, if you would have saw what it was, that 2015, that first accreditation, it was so small. It was, you know, just yes. Our accreditation, man. And we probably, I don't, you know, 86 policies and documents. Now when you look on here, there's 600, but that's 4 years in the making, and we've archived. There's a lot of archives. I think there's like 200 and something mm-hmm. archives where policies got updated, so that's why it seems like a whole bunch. But again, the good thing about it is you never lose a document, too, that reminds
right.
me.
Yes.
You would start off to see, and maybe it isn't, and maybe it isn't what you need, but the thing is, you would start off small, because again, when you see all of that, that's 4 years in the making. But if you would have saw it in 2015, it would have been way smaller. Mm-hmm. And
that's another thing too. It is a, I guess one of the things is that there's two other softwares that we use to go with it. And that's the one that converts PDFs to Word. Mm-hmm. And the other one is that we have, and I can't think of the name of it. It's the one that for dictation.
Yes, that could be utilized too.
Uh-huh.
So it
can do some other mm-hmm. things, but like I said, just take it all in today, and we need to continue to have discussions on
it. It's a lot. It's huge. And to try to get it in a little overview in an hour is
kind of rough. Customization. It is total customization on what we want it to do. Mm-hmm. She's just showing us what they've got set up to do with it.
And I don't even utilize all the tools. There is even more tools.
Right. And like I said, if we decide to go down this path, we can contact Policy Tech. They can start to talk to us and take a different. But I just wanted her to come give us an overview so we could consider. So I appreciate it so much. We are getting into our last 15 minutes here, so I don't think we're going to have time to go over a template. If there's any other discussion on this, we need questions now. Any more questions or comments about this, or any more questions about how it works? Congresswoman White?
No, I don't have any more questions today, and I didn't really want to dive off the deep end and say, oh, we're going to do this, but wasn't my intention.
Not what I intended.
But I think for today, I've got a pretty good idea of how it works, and I think that we should keep exploring more, because I think that trying to make our process more streamlined for our clerks and more accessible for the members is a goal we should be shooting towards, and I appreciate you bringing this forward.
Okay.
I need to adjourn if that's
fine. We are at adjournment. I mean, we're in the last 15 minutes. If there's no more questions or anything, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Laura, for coming.
Thank you all for coming in.
And if I would have left the table.
What is that one? It's an Adobe, isn't it?
We do Adobe Pro. We use Adobe Pro. That's a lifesaver to be able to convert things into Word. Or vice versa, because this will upload pretty much anything. But what really makes it useful is if you can get into the habit of using the Word, your template that you put, because then that's how you could go and use that process of review or writer, reviewer. You could still do that if you use it outside, but you'll just upload and replace. But they'll always keep a version of it, but then you would upload. But if you use that template that you guys would design.
You got us off, Dawn.
But it's a lot. It's a lot to try to explain in an hour. I mean, like, we do training.